I will open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Friday, Friday, February 17th, 2012. I was thinking about my birthday. We have a lot of items on the agenda today. Two of the items we're going to be setting over under the federal grant application request. We've had some requests from some members of the committee to get a little bit more time to read items 1 and 5. So we're going to set them over to the next meeting of the full committee. That's actually a good transition to let you all know that you should stand by beginning on Tuesday evening for meetings of the full committee on almost a daily basis until sine die, potentially that many, and that they will usually be later in the day, but we can't guarantee that except maybe Friday we'll be meeting at this same time. My understanding is that in the Senate yesterday they declared sine die as imminent and went to 1 hour notice. My understanding is the House is doing that today.
We will soon follow.
So I'll go ahead and start here. I will open a work session on HB 4167. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 4167 makes technical changes to the current law as it implements House Bill 2712, which, to remind you, was the criminal fines measure passed last year by the legislature. The measure has an emergency clause and will be effective on passage if it passes. The measure makes technical changes to clarify fine amounts and the distribution of revenues by the Judicial Department and the Department of Revenue. The measure treats violations issued by TriMet identical to violations issued by other local governments. There is an allocation from the criminal fines account to TriMet for violation revenues issued from January 1, 2012 to the effective date of the measure. An interim committee has been established to address policy concerns relating to criminal fines, and the Public Safety Subcommittee recommends adoption of 4167 as amended.
Discussion. Seeing none, objection to the motion. Please note, Senator Girard, Representative Freeman. Motion carries. Close out work session, open a work session on HB 4168. Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 4168 makes technical changes to the current law implementation of House Bill 2710, which was the civil fee measure passed by the 2011 legislature. The measure has an emergency clause and is effective on passage. The measure makes technical changes to clarify fee amounts, reestablishes the exemption for the court charging public bodies a copy fee, and codifies recent fees established by Chief Justice order. The measure also directs the state court administrator to study the historic funding levels of county law library and conciliation and mediation services and report back to the Legislative Assembly by December the 31st, 2012. An interim committee has been established to address policy concerns related to the civil fees. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4168 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Discussion. Any objection to the motion before?
I'd say we have discussion.
Oh, yes. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one brief question for clarification. When we look at funding for the different kinds of programs that have been funded through this part of our fees, I just wanted to clarify whether the funding level for mediation in particular is proportionate to historical levels in proportion, if there are cuts, that cuts are proportionate to other cuts that we're making.
You know, I do not know the answer to that, and I think someone else needs to answer that to be very clear that you get the right answer. I could guess.
Mr. Borden, please don't guess.
Co-chairs and Representative Nathanson, the Interim Committee on State Justice System Revenues during 2010 studied historic funding levels, and for conciliation and mediation services, that amount was $7.4 million, which is what the 2011 legislature then appropriated for that service to the Judicial Department.
Thank you.
Any additional discussions? I did see Senator Thompson was a no. Any other Senator or Representative Freeman?
John?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Clarification?
Yes. Mr. Borden, we need a clarification.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that what you said was that this cut that was kind of 3.5% for most agencies did not apply to these allocations. Is that what you just said?
Co-Chair Devlin and Co-Chair Buckley and Co-Chair Richardson, the 2011 legislature appropriated the historic levels. The budget under consideration now takes a 3.5% reduction across each of those general fund appropriations for each of those programs.
Okay, thank you.
No one has a question?
That applies, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. That cut applies to mediation services and law libraries. There's been some discussion about allowing some discretion at the county level between those two services to make sure that the one that the split is most appropriate to the local government, to that particular county. Is that changed in this?
Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Buckley, and Co-Chair Richardson, and Representative Noland. To be precise, we'll need to consult with Legislative Council, who's here in the room. But my understanding is this, that the general fund appropriations are discrete, one for conciliation mediation services that's administered by the Judicial Department and has a specific distribution methodology. One is discrete for county law libraries, and in statute, counties are to provide county law library services, so that to answer your question, those funds may not be commingled.
Representative Nolan, I think that item was under discussion at the time we were in regular session, but it was not actually instituted in statute at that time.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair, if you see a perplexity, I think because your co-chairs thought that there was some discretion.
Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. I just wanted to let you know I will be supporting 4167 and 68 in the committee, but I, after talking with my constituency, I may not on the floor.
Okay. Any additional no votes that we've noted? Representative Freeman, Senator Thompson, Senator Girard. Motion carries. Close that work session, open a work session on HB 4169. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 4169, modified fees that defendants pay when convicted of driving under the influence of intoxicants and to petition for diversion. Four DUII measures were passed during the 2011 session. The timing of their passage created conflicts in the amount of the fee increases and the distribution of funds. House Bill 4169 clarifies the fee amounts and the distribution of revenue. The measure changes the district attorney's diversion fee to 100 and provides for the waiver of deferral of the fee. The measure has an emergency clause and is effective upon passage. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4169 be amended and reported out, be passed as amended.
Any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, motion carries. Colleagues, we will go on to the federal grant application requests. Again, items 1 and 5 are set over to the next regular meeting of the full committee. Item number 2, Oregon Health Authority. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve retroactively the submission of a federal initiative application to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to promote primary care. The Oregon Health Authority is requesting retroactive approval to apply for the Comprehensive Primary Care Initiative from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. The initiative is intended to promote primary care by providing additional funds to select primary care practices from multiple payers, including Medicaid and Medicare. Participating practices would receive additional Medicare and Medicaid fee-for-service funding based on a per-patient, per-month basis. Providers will be required to meet specific criteria, including coordination of care and integration of services. The Medicaid funding is expected to be roughly $1.1 million per year over the four-year life of the initiative. It would be passed through the agency budget. Medicare funding, as well as funding from other participating payers, will go directly to providers. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Didn't read that well. I'm sorry.
any discussion?
I do apologize for that.
Any discussion? Any objection? Yes,
I'd just like to ask a question and a clarification. This doesn't have anything to do with transformation, does it?
It does not directly. It's an entirely different program. It's trying to look at a primary care home and how you would bill for that. One of the issues for actual people in the field, you'll have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different insurance companies you're dealing with, in addition to Medicare and Medicaid. And so if you want to go from a fee-for-service, bring them to the office and see them, to a more comprehensive panel of patients you'd have, in which you get paid for a certain amount for taking care of those patients, you really can't do it because you've got a huge investment in a billing system and in individual billers. So this program is designed to help people try out a different way of dealing with these issues. So you'd have, you know, you'd be in a situation where if someone called in and you talked over how to adjust their insulin over the phone, for instance, you wouldn't have to bring them to the office to do that. You could have that kind of a conversation, or you could use the internet to do it. And now you have a tendency not to do that because you don't get paid for that. You can spend the whole day on the phone and go broke, but still give good care.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before? Seeing none, motion carried. Close that work session. And open a work session, Department of Human Services. Senator Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Labor Office of Disability Employment Policy for up to $100,000 to support Oregon's effort to improve employment for individuals with developmental disabilities. The Department of Human Services is asking for approval to apply for the Employment First Leadership State Mentor Program. If awarded, we will help our co-chair. The grant would supplement the agency's ongoing efforts to develop integrated employment opportunities for youth transitioning from school to work for working aged adults. The grant period would run through September 2012. The grant application is due February 25th. It does not require state match or any other ongoing commitment. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Discussion. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session. Parks and Recreation Department. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of the Parks and Recreation Department request to apply for National Parks Service Native American Graves and Reparation Act. Repatriation Act, excuse me, grant in the amount of $82,260. No state match is required. The grant is for funding to hire a limited duration research assistant to consult with the representatives from 5 federally recognized Native American tribes to assess the Native Americans' artifacts currently in the Parks Department's collection at 10 parks. Work toward completing documentation of Native American artifacts within its control and possession, develop a digital documentation database, and work with Native American tribes regarding the disposition of the Parks Department's collection. The federal funding availability was announced in December 2011 with the posted application deadline of March 6, 2012. Your Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Colleagues, we will now move on to agency reports. Department of Consumer and Business Services, Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're warmed up now, Representative.
Very excited about this one. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of the annual report of workers' compensation insurance premium assessment rates mandated by ORS 656.612, subsection 6. The Department of Consumer and Business Services levies an assessment on workers' compensation insurance premiums to finance the state workers' compensation and workplace health and safety programs. The department submitted a report as required by statute on assessment rates for 2012. The assessment rate was decreased from 6.4% to 6.2% of the premium amount beginning on January 1. Budget reductions approved by the 2011-13 biennial budget for workers' compensation system programs were instrumental in allowing the assessment rate to be reduced. Although the assessment rate is reducing, employers will, on average, face higher workers' compensation premium rates in 2012. This is because the cost of financing expected claims increased by an average of 1.9%, which more than offset the assessment rate decrease. The increase, although small, is significant in that it represents the first such increase in 22 years. The agency attributes the increase in premium rates to medical cost increases, which have outpaced slow wage growth, and to a leveling off in the number of claims, which have been declining. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Discussion. Any objections?
Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Open a work session, close that work session, open a work session, Department of Education, Representative Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 2011-13 legislative adopted budget established an internal audit position phased in on January 1, 2012 that would report to the State Board of Education and would provide audit services for the Departments of Education and the Community Colleges and Workforce. The State Department was directed through a budget note to report on its efforts to recruit and retain an internal auditor and to complete annual risk assessments. Following the directive, the agency to complete a 10.5 general fund reduction list, the recruitment of the position was postponed, and then subject to a statewide hiring freeze announced in December. The risk assessments have been delayed as well. The Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report with the understanding with A, the Department of Administrative Services Hiring Freeze Exception Committee shall consider this position as a legislative priority. B, regardless of the State Board of Education ability to hire for the position, the risk assessments for the Department of Education and Community Colleges and Workforce Development shall be completed by November of 2012.
Discussion. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make a comment. And there have been a number of positions that have been allowed during this time of a freeze. And some of them I did not feel were nearly as important as this one. And so I would just like to comment that it would seem to me that this internal auditor and this assessment should have been perhaps considered in that if you were going to exempt some of the others that I've looked at in the committee, that didn't seem nearly this important.
Senator Monroe, then Senator Gerard.
Yeah, your subcommittee was not happy with the Department of Education's decision when they were asked to take the 3.5% cut that everybody else was taking. They decided to pay for that by delaying hiring the auditor that we had made it very clear was a top priority. And since they were going to delay hiring that auditor, then the freeze came down, and so they didn't attempt to do the audit in-house or anything else. And the recommendation that you see before you is based upon that. Three things. First of all, we were unhappy. We want them to hire an auditor. We want them to ask for an amendment to the freeze to allow them to hire that auditor. But if they're not allowed to hire the auditor, they must then pay for the audit in-house and get it done by next November. We made this very clear to the department at our subcommittee meeting on this issue.
Senator Girard.
I would like to take off on what Senator Verger said, and I was a no vote on accepting a report. And to me, it was
we told them that they needed to hire an auditor and report back as to the progress of hiring the auditor, and so we were accepting a report basically that they have done nothing, and that's basically it. So the frustration is really high, and I think Senator Monroe came up with a good footnote telling him that, we need to have this auditor, but I don't know what you do with an agency that doesn't do what the legislature says they're supposed to do. They had ample time before the freeze, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would say that they were notified that the freeze was coming. So this is an agency that has kind of tweaked their nose at the legislature, and I don't know. I mean, if you don't accept the report, I don't know what that does. I mean, it does absolutely nothing. But I don't know how you convey the frustration that this is not acceptable behavior. So that's the dilemma that I was in, and that's why I voted no.
Representative Kopp.
I would make my own personal comment as being a previous school board member. If we did not do our internal audit as a school district, our funds were held back.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. Cote. I just want to reiterate my colleagues, Senator Monroe and Senator Gerard's comments. I share them.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your general government subcommittee has discussed the issue of internal audits across all state agencies starting last year. We had received a report from Department of Administrative Services on the state of audits across the board, and we were concerned about this and a few other departments where it seemed audits were not happening. We received an update from the Department of Administrative Services a week or two ago, and I'm very pleased that at DAS they're taking this seriously and taking a comprehensive look at how the state supports internal audits and the need for completing those. So it's being looked at also in a broader picture for how we can get some help to make sure the departments are doing what they're supposed to do.
Representative Richardson.
Mr. Kocher and members of the committee, you know, this is an ongoing problem. For years, if you go back and look at where cuts and vacancies are held, quite often it's in the internal audits departments of various agencies. Maybe we're at a point where we should look at what the funding is for each of these agencies for their audits, gather that money together, and create our own GAO that could be a separate agency or it could be housed as part of LFO. I'm sure Mr. Rocco would love that. But the idea being that we have the money, we allocate it, and don't expect employees within an agency to actually have an independent audit of their own agency. I mean, that inherently has problems. And so the federal government has recognized that, and so they have independent auditors that go in, they do that, and they move to the next one. And if you have an auditor within an agency, what do they do when they're not auditing? I mean, you know, it's like having your own telephone answer, where you have a receptionist that does registering for one agency. Why not have multiple agencies all call in the same place so that they stay busy? Anyway, the auditors could go through the system, and it could be done in a truly independent fashion.
Ms. Brown, could you come forward? I just want a clarification here so that the committee understands that something is clear. Is it correct that while the agency, just want to clarify, while the agency recommended cutting the auditor's position, the subcommittee didn't recommend that, nor did the co-chairs recommend cutting the auditor's position?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Monica Brown, Legislative Fiscal Office. The agency did not recommend cutting the position entirely.
Oh.
It delayed it 1 month on its 3.5% proposed reduction list. It was approved to be authorized starting January 1. They did get their audit committee together, developed a position description, and this was also combining resources of two agencies. So the two agencies did get together as the audit committee and with the state board to discuss how they were going to do a joint program. So since the subcommittee met, the agency has met with Department of Administrative Services, and then their internal auditor has reached out to them to say, we can help you get to recruiting, If you're unsuccessful in recruiting or even that's delayed, we'll start working on the internal risk assessments. So they're reaching out to them to work on that sort of enterprise approach as well. So that's already ongoing. I'm also to understand that they have been working with DAS to do a spots audit as well. So, I mean, some of the work is ongoing, and they are moving forward with their efforts on this internal audit.
Yes.
Just a comment. I've sort of had a running battle with the Department of Ed for a long time. When I used to sit on the Education Committee, I always said, well, we had to cut some money out of their budget. I think their administrative budget is like $75 million general fund and maybe a matching of $75 million of federal funds. And we're talking about not getting the job done. They got $150 million. Why? Maybe we could help solve some of your problems here and cut $20 million out of the education general fund budget and balance this budget, and we can go home in 8 days.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I think you hear the frustration of members on this panel, and I know we're going to move on to vote on this, on accepting or not accepting this report, but I do think that it's something that should be looked at seriously for the future. For not only this agency, but others, as we talk about internal audits, I would happen to have some agreement with the good representative, the other co-chair, and talk about whether we have an independent GAO-type audit. That's the same issue that I've raised throughout this building since 1999, not only audit, but as we look at the proliferation of the ombudsmanship kind of operation. Whenever you have the fox watching its own house, you're going to have problems, and you're not going to get what you need in order to get a good, efficient, effective government. So I need to put that on.
Just to voice a slightly different perspective, actually. One of the reasons we pressed for internal auditors, we obviously, agencies are audited, and they are audited by the Secretary of State. One of the reasons we pushed for internal auditors is because the history of Secretary of State audits, finding problems within agencies, believing that they should have internal auditors so that they can avoid some of those problems. If this measure were to go down, I don't think there would be any real negative impact of it. What I am a little bit disturbed by, and I know that there's all of these things, is that at least to some degree, there is a perception out there, and I'm not being critical of how this freeze is being handled, so don't take it as that. But I believe almost probably about 4 out of 5 agency requests to fill vacancies and be able to fill the vacancy even though there is a freeze are granted. So sometimes, I'm not saying the Department of Education, agencies are not seeking to fill positions and using that as an explanation for why. So I don't really have a dog in the show, or a dog in this. So I'm going to go to a roll call vote of the committee.
On accepting the report.
On accepting a report.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, the motion is basically to acknowledge receipt of the report with the understanding that this is a priority. So you are sending a message to the department that they should fill this position, and if they don't, they should still do the risk assessments. That's what the subcommittee recommended that you do. So,
okay.
But I'd be glad to do a roll call vote for you. Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative Nolan?
No.
Representative Kahn?
Aye.
Representative Beyer?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Girard?
No.
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-chair Richardson?
No.
Co-Chair Buckley?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
No.
Senator Bates?
No.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Berger?
No.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Oh, aye.
Senator Gerard?
Nope.
Senator Edwards?
Nope.
Senator Thompson?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Vice Chair Johnson?
Nope.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Aye. I think it's motion failed.
That would be
motion failed. We will take this result under advisement.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes. Yes.
I think we should take it under advisement because we use devices from this committee of let's just cut out middle management positions, or let's give an unspecified reduction to agencies, or let's take an across-the-board cut, because we either don't have the time or the willingness to make the programmatic reductions that are required to balance the budget. And then when they implement our direction, we say, well, we wanted you to cut something, but not that, and we're not going to tell you what we do want you to cut. That's the basis for my no vote. We need to make sure, if we want to balance the budget and take tough cuts, we've got to own them.
Okay, we'll move on to the close that work session and open a work session on the Department of Education. Representative Gerard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. The Department of Education was directed through a budget note to convene a work group of stakeholders to address concerns for the educational program for students in residential and day treatment, i.e. the long-term care and treatment program. Some of the recommendations from the work group include equalizing the funding weight for residential and day treatment educational programs, establishing a formula weight of 3.0, and moving funding entirely to the state school fund rather than splitting program funding between the state school fund and the direct general fund appropriation. Program and treatment staff will continue to meet regarding best practices for integration of treatment and education service delivery models, and to work with legislators and stakeholders to draft legislative concepts for the 2013 session. The Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Discussion. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session. Department of Education. Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. When adopting the 2011-13 budget for the Department of Education's operation program, the legislature acknowledged that the funding level would necessitate reorganization and alignment of work. The department and the State Board of Education were directed through budget note to report on their strategic plan to implement this budget. The department submitted a draft report on January 6, 2012, and anticipates adoption of a final report at the March 2012 meeting of the State Board. The report notes that the department made significant efforts to secure a waiver from the federal No Child Left Behind Act and supporting the Governor's Oregon Education Investment Board initiative. Further, to manage to the adopted budget level, the department is exploring efficiency efforts, continuing to review reporting mandates, and relying on vacancy savings to address reductions. Your Education Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Discussion. Any objection to the motion before the committee?
Seeing, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question,
yes,
please.
Yes, Senator Verger.
Thank you. When the budget note asked for a report on the strategic plan to implement the budget, was a date given earlier than the March 2012 meeting of the State Board?
Monica can probably answer that.
Ms. Brown, please come forward.
Again, for the record, Monica Brown, Legislative Fiscal Office, members of the committee, and Senator Verger. Yes, the budget notes specify January 6, 2012. They did submit the draft report. It had had one preliminary review before the state board in December. They wanted to review that, and then they are planning to take it up at their March meeting of the state board. There was testimony in committee, and actually a state board member was present, and they acknowledged that they really expect the draft report to essentially become the final report. So you have, in essence, the final report.
Follow-up, Mr. Yes. Chairman. So the strategic plan actually was late.
Senator Verger, I guess if you wish to parse it, yes, the draft that will eventually become the final was submitted on time by the 6th. It was not adopted by the state board, however, at that time.
Thank you very much.
Any additional discussion?
Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very briefly, co-chairs, I would ask you to listen to the last paragraph, next to last, where it said the agency is relying on vacancy savings to address reductions. You have a bill in Ways and Means process. Agencies are continuing to ask for people, not fill the positions, and use that money for other needs, mainly reductions. Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open the work session. Oregon Health Authority. Representative Thatcher.
Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report on dental service reductions. The Oregon Health Authority was directed to work with dental organizations and return in February 2012 with a plan that adjusts dental reductions in a way that would still protect pregnant women and children. Any such service reductions would help lessen the impact of provider rate reductions on dental providers. OHA and the dental care organizations agreed upon a number of limitations on dental services. With federal approval, the agency implemented all the recommended service limitations effective January 1, 2012. This will save an estimated 3% in annual dental organization costs. Limitations will affect services related to dentures, periodontal work, and root canals. The group also discussed other options to eliminate certain services. These options were not implemented and would require statutory change. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing no objection, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session. Oregon Health Authority, Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report from the Oregon Health Authority on the Health Insurance Exchange Information Technology Project. In February 2011, Oregon was awarded an information technology grant of $48 million in federal funding to support the Health Insurance Exchange. OHA presented status reports to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means September and November of 2011. The agency is making excellent progress in getting the essential foundational documents completed and implemented. While this project faces major risks, the agency continues to develop strategies to mitigate those risks where possible. The Legislative Fiscal Office will continue to monitor this project closely and is also working with the program side to be sure that the program effort and the information technology effort are being completed in a coordinated manner. The agency has already completed 3 federal gate reviews and a 4th is scheduled for March 2012. The agency continues to reevaluate their resource needs and has agreement from its federal partners for supplemental funding of $11.8 million. The agency will return to the Emergency Board later in the biennium to request additional expenditure limitation if needed and to provide project updates. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval. I would note that in the committee, Representative Freeman and Representative Thatcher brought up questions about the release of the funds as the program progresses. There was an agreement made that the authority would come back to the Emergency Board on a regular basis as more funds were released. They're available to them, but no release of those funds until we knew that the program was progressing in a rational fashion. We all realize that we've had some IT failures in this state. We don't want another one. LFO is watching this very carefully with us. We're hoping this is going to be a successful program. Remember also, this is not just for the health insurance has changed. This money and this program is going to help us do a lot of work in other parts of DHS that's very important to us in updating our systems for eligibility and other issues, from everything from SNAP to TANF and right on through all the DHS programs.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. Just another note, because there was discussion about developing the IT package in-house as well as looking to the future as to who will maintain the IT, because it's been one of my concerns and pet peeves that often we contract out of the state, and that contract includes the maintenance activity, and the agency assured that they're doing their due diligence so that we can have better, higher employment in the state of Oregon, and I think that's a plus. I really applauded the director of IT, because she comes here with a very sound view of how to put an IT package together. So I needed to put that on the record, because I think we need to look at all of the contracts that are being let and whether or not we have the talent and capability within our state borders in order to carry out those projects.
Thanks for reminding me.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Hearing no objections, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session. Oregon Health Authority, Senator Winters.
Forgot that.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of report on the need for community placement facilities for forensic patients. In response to a budget note, the Oregon Health Authority and the Psychiatric Review Board worked with the stakeholders to determine the need for community placements for PSRB patients at the Oregon State Hospital who no longer need hospital-level care. The 16-person work group included broad representation of the mental health community. Recommendations included the following. No additional 16-bed secure residential treatment facilities are needed. There is a need for additional residential treatment facilities and residential treatment homes in proximity to the current secure facilities. This would assist in moving people from the secure facilities to a lower level of care. There is a need for additional residential medical facilities to serve people who have significant medical needs. Dedicated crisis respite facilities are needed, as well as additional community support and housing. The group believed that with these additional facilities and support, people could move through the system more quickly. This would free up secure facility beds to accommodate patients being released from OSH. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Hearing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session. Department of Human Services, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Service Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge the receipt of a report on alternatives to employment services for persons with developmental disabilities. The Department of Human Services contracts with Alternatives to Employment Day Services for adult living and residential programs. In September 2011, 4,069 adults participating in day services. The average daily rate is $61.46, which is paid with a mix of state and federal matching funds. The agency reported it will continue to work with stakeholders group to identify measurable outcomes and restructure contracts for the second year of the biennium as directed in the 2011 budget note. The Human Service Subcommittee recommends acknowledging the report of the receipt. I'm sorry, the receipt of the report. Either way, it'll be fine.
Any discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Hearing none, seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session, open work session. Judicial Department, Representative Nolan.
Mr. Co-Chair, the Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report on the expenditure of general fund dollars budgeted and expended on the Oregon E-Court program, including the additional $2 million in general fund appropriation for operations and maintenance. The subcommittee noted the recent and significant progress made by the E-Court program in developing a comprehensive and consolidated budget. This will provide for improved oversight by the department, its stakeholders, as well as the legislature. Indeed, the LFO analysis described the project's recent performance as impressive, and I commented that you hardly ever get an impressive out of the LFO analysts. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion?
Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Closeout work session, open work session, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a quarterly report by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission was directed by budget note to report quarterly to the legislature on sales expenditures and whether additional expenditure limitation was anticipated to be necessary to maintain agents' compensation at an average rate of 8.88% of sales and maintain bank card services in stores. The OLCC reports that for the first two quarters of the biennium, sales have exceeded projections by $5.2 million or 2.2%, and the volume of liquor sold, measured by cases moved out of warehouse, has exceeded initial projections in every month since the beginning of the biennium. To date, OLCC has exceeded case projections by more than 58,000 cases. The legislatively adopted budget assumes gross liquor sales of $920 million. By biennium's end, OLCC believes the gross liquor sales will be $958 million. Should this occur, an estimated $15 million would be available to the distribution formula. $3.4 million in additional expenditure limitation would be required for agents' compensation, and $900,000 would be needed for additional bank card fees. Significant expenditure limitation remains for both agents' compensation and for fees associated with credit card sales. OLCC will likely bump up against the expenditure limitation imposed by the legislatively adopted budget in the late spring of 2013. But if sale trends continue, the OLCC anticipates it will seek additional expenditure limitation in the summer of 2012 so that agents' compensation could be maintained at an average rate of 8.8% of sales so that bank cards could continue to be utilized in stores. As of December 31, 2011, OLCC has cumulative expenditures of $33.7 million, including agents' compensation and capital improvement expenditures, or 25.2% of the 2011-13 legislatively adopted budget. Your Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion? Any objection to the report? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session on the military department. I'll just say what it is because it's kind of nice. Christmas Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a budget note report on the Christmas Valley project, and the progress of that project is measured against the department's original business case and financial management plan. The military department does not have a detailed business case, financial analysis, and plan for the Christmas Valley project, and therefore is unable to comply with the budget note. In addition, the department is reporting that it has delayed its plans to actually purchase the Christmas Valley site at the present time. The leadership team at the Oregon Military Department is currently in the process of reevaluating the long-term prospects for the development of the Christmas Valley site. The Public Service Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report with instruction that the department report to the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means or the Emergency Board during 2012 on whether it has chosen to proceed with the property purchase and if to submit the requested detailed business case, financial analysis, and so forth. Given the economic and the market of today, this has been delayed somewhat.
Discussion. Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Open work session on military department. Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a budget note report on the long-range strategic plan that includes both state and federally budgeted resources. The legislative interest in this report was to understand the comprehensive strategic plan for the department that includes both its state and federal responsibilities. When compared to other states' military department strategic plans, the department's plan is absent many essential elements that comprise a comprehensive strategic plan, such as state and federal budget information, organizational charts, statutory and legal responsibilities, assessments, trends, and performance measures. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends acknowledgement of the report with instructions that the department report to the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means or the Emergency Board during September 2012 with a comprehensive strategic plan that includes both state and federally budgeted resources. Mr. Chairman, Chairman Richardson, Chairman Buckley, after our subcommittee meeting, I took the opportunity to meet with the military department and the staff from the Legislative Fiscal Office. The department understands that its strategic plan needs improvement and feels that it has additional information readily available that can be incorporated into the plan. The department will work with LFO between now and September to ensure that the department's plan meets the expectations of the budget note and the legislature.
Discussion. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Hearing none, motion carries. Open a work session, military department. Senator Verger.
The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report on all programs, plans, activities, audits, and audit findings, which are funded apart from the department's state legislatively approved budget. The purpose of the report was to provide the legislature with a more complete and detailed understanding of the total level of funding for the department, including that portion funded outside the state budget. While the department's report does provide some high-level information, it fails to provide the detail requested in the budget note. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion?
Yes. Thank you. Senator Verger, thank you for the pony. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but with the Department of Human Services or OHA, we get very detailed information about what federal dollars are going where in the budget. And basically the frustration you're expressing is we do not have that same information from this department.
Well, actually they do have. It's just that it was not reported. Their information is actually available. And they do quite a good job, actually, with their budget report, some of the best that we receive. But they need to be much more focused on how they give this information to the legislature and through the process.
Very good. Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, the motion carries. Close that work session. Open the work session. Board of Pharmacy. Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Subcommittee on Education recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report on operational management of the Board of Pharmacy. The Board of Pharmacy was instructed in a budget note to contract for a review of its operations, including, but not limited to, the delegation of duties by position, the process by which the Board conducts its administrative functions, how revenues relate to the costs of doing business, management principles and policies, and efficient use of resources. The report discusses a number of key issues regarding the operational management of the Board and makes 10 specific recommendations to the Board regarding those issues. Along with the contractor's report, the Board has included their written responses to the issues discussed and the recommendations provided. Subcommittee on Education recommends acknowledgement of the report.
Any discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Let's go to the next open work session, Public Employees Retirement System. Representative Girard.
Thank you again, Mr. Co-Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report from the Public Employees Retirement System, PERS, on the preliminary crediting of 2011 earnings received through system investments. ORS-238 requires the agency to submit a preliminary report 30 days prior to approving final crediting of annual earnings. On January 27, 2012, the PERS Board approved the preliminary allocation of $1.2 billion in 2011 earnings. The Board is scheduled to make its final crediting decision during its March 22, 2012 Board meeting. Those allocations include the following. To Tier 1 member regular accounts, $494.4 million. To Tier 2 member regular accounts, $15 million. To employer reserves, $366.3 million. And to the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan pension, $13.8 million. Tier 1 member regular accounts were credited at the current assumed rate of 8%. Since actual earnings on Tier 1 accounts were insufficient to cover crediting to member accounts, a $361.7 million deficit was created in the Tier 1 rate guarantee reserve. Any earnings in excess of the assumed rate on Tier 1 accounts in future years will first be used to eliminate this deficit. The subcommittee shared concerns about those earnings failing to materialize. The Board is scheduled to make its final crediting decision during its March 22, 2012 Board meeting. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Damned 8%. Discussion.
Ready to receive.
Any objection to the motion to receive the report? Yes, Senator Whitson.
Discussion, please.
Yes.
I am really, really concerned about that $361.7 million. It's basically, I would characterize it as a legacy cost that isn't being covered. It's a cost shift from those people who are currently paying in to those people who are currently receiving. And it's a trend that is only going to be reversed by, as I understand it, by increased investment earnings. And that is, if you have to believe in that to cover the cost, then perhaps we need to look at it a little more closely. I don't know a cure for it. I don't believe the Supreme Court has allowed as much leeway in that, but I do think we need to be looking at that because I do believe there's a trend there, and I don't believe that we're going to see investment earnings return to pay back that $361 million, and perhaps the next time around there'll be another $360 or larger. So I think it's something we need to pay attention to.
Yes.
I have a question for Director Cleary, if you could.
Good morning. Paul Cleary, Executive Director of PERS.
Thank you. I just want to kind of bring out what the consequences mean for rates for the next biennium. My understanding is that if we had to make an estimate as to what the additional costs will be for the state in the next budget, that the PERS costs are going to go up somewhere around $400 million in 13-15. Do you have any idea of what this means? Since PERS is kind of, these payments are kind of like a debt, I mean, it comes off the top and it means it comes from other programs. And so what can we look forward to?
Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Richardson, we haven't calculated the rates yet for the 13-15 biennium. We base those on a two-year period, which would be 2010-2011. Our annualized earnings rate for that two-year period was 7.29%, so pretty close to the 8% that we assume. Over that period, but we're still tracking in some losses from 2008. You'll remember 2008 when we had a complete meltdown in the markets. We had a return of negative 27%. So we're spreading that out over about a three biennium period. We were looking at a rate increase of about 3.8% if we hit 8 for the last 2 years. So I think we're probably looking at somewhere 4.5%. 5, somewhere in that area. Now, that's for the state, the payroll for the state, somewhere around $2.1 billion, if I remember. So you're looking at, a rate increase there of $80 million or so.
Hey, guys, it's Billy Eichner, and this is Funny or Die's Billy on the Street. The new music is hot.
Well, there's a good thing, right? The committee up.
Checking the stocks.
Sure or false, if you put a black wig on me, it looks more like Chris Snow than you think. Sure or false.
Can you help with the volume?
Show them where the volume is?
Mr. Cleary. A couple of things. One, I know this is a two-edged sword.
Right.
And I know that this is permissible both under the Supreme Court decision and actually in statute. The board considered adjusting the presumed rate of return.
Presumed rate.
Right. Yeah. Do you think they will reexamine that issue again during the coming year?
Co-Chair Devlin, we examine the assumed earnings rate every 2 years as part of our experience study, so we'll look at it in spring of 2013. We'll work with the Oregon Investment Council, probably complete an asset liability study, and use that to inform the assumed earnings rate. We monitor the capital market projections on a regular basis, and interestingly, they've actually increased here in the last couple of months. I had an old sheep herder friend in Wyoming whose life philosophy was nothing very good or very bad lasts very long, and I think in the investment world, the term for it is retreat to the mean. And on a long-term basis, what we see is the good years and the bad years generally retreat to the mean. So our return over the last 25 years has, on an annualized basis, has averaged more than 9%, even incorporating in the 2008 losses and the 2000 through 2001 period. So, it's tough to crystal ball. We continue to look at it. The pressure is downward, and what's interesting is the pressure is more coming from the fixed income portion of the portfolio because the equity projections are about the same, but the fixed income with the Feds holding the Treasury rate at such a low rate, it used to be we try to drag up a projection of 5 to 6% on fixed income with equity. Now we're trying to drag up a projection of 2 to 4. So it makes it much more difficult.
Any additional questions? Senator Giroir.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, I just want a point of clarification, and that is when the times were good and you had a rate of return above 8%, that still went into their account. What was above went into their account. We just didn't put in 8%, right?
Co-Chair Devlin, Senator Giroir, that used to be the practice prior to 2000.
Okay.
We've only credited 8% into the Tier 1 accounts since 2000. We started off with a deficit. We'd actually, by 2002, had a deficit in that reserve of over $2 billion. We then filled that $2 billion in and built it up to about a $2 billion surplus by 2007. And then when 2008 came along, we recreated a deficit. We had dropped down to about $1 billion, and we chipped away at that. And then we've liquidated that 2008 deficit. And I think Co-Chair Devlin, to Senator Witsit's concern, and it's a legitimate concern, we look at that on a five-year basis. We have to chip away and close that deficit out in over the next 5 years. So we'll be reporting to you every year as to our progress on doing that. And, I am pleased to report, while we don't look at short terms, January was the best month in the equity market in the last 15 years, and the Russell 2000, which is a good index for our domestic portfolio, is up 12% year to date.
Any additional questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Clinton.
Thank you.
Any objections to acceptance of the report?
Oh.
Seeing none, motion carries. Almost there. Close that work session, open work session, Department of Revenue. Representative Giroir.
Three in a row. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report from the Department of Revenue on agency effectiveness. The budget report for House Bill 5040, the primary 2011-13 budget bill for the Department of Revenue, included a budget note regarding agency effectiveness. Mm-hmm. The department was directed to report on its leadership and effectiveness across all aspects of the agency's programs. In its report, the department describes the approach and process used to address each of the budget note components. These include improvements of business practices and processes, strategies to address the tax gap, and engaging frontline staff. The agency's report includes several specific examples of employee initiatives and improvement projects that have been developed and implemented. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion of the motion before the committee? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Hearing none, motion carries. Open work session on Department of Revenue. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report from the Department of Revenue on the Elderly Rental Assistance and Nonprofit Corporation Housing for Elderly Person Programs. The budget report for House Bill 5040, the primary 2011-13 budget bill for the Department of Revenue, included a budget note regarding the Elderly Rental Assistance and Nonprofit Housing Programs. These two programs share a biennial appropriation of about $6 million general fund, which had been defunded in the governor's budget. The legislature ultimately provided the department $3 million general fund to cover program costs in the first year of the biennium. Second year funding of $2.9 million was set aside in a special purpose appropriation. The agency worked with the Oregon House and Community Services and the Department of Human Services to review the programs. The review included an analysis of each program's purpose, funding requirements, and overlap with other programs. The report has also to provide service delivery and funding options for the programs. If changes in the Elderly Rental Assistance Program are desired by the legislature, the agency recommends integrating the program with a low-income rental housing program at Oregon Housing and Community Services. For the nonprofit housing program, the agency did not find a related program for consolidation or merger and was not prepared to recommend eliminating the program without legislative input. The subcommittee discussed at length the agency's recommendations and wanted to see a more detailed and specific plan, including legislation needed and clients' impact. In addition, the subcommittee recommended that any program change be made with plenty of advance warning to program participants. The subcommittee also pointed out that while funding concerns generated the budget note, modifying or eliminating these programs have policy implications that need to be examined by an appropriate policy committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Colleagues, I just want to put a fine point on the fact that the elderly rental assistance recipients are people over the age of, it's either 62, I just can't remember the age, I think it's 62, with total assets of less than $25,000 and gross incomes of less than $10,000. When we talk about the poorest of the poor, these are not only very poor people, but they are elderly people, and for many of them, there is no alternative. And these programs have been easily lost in all of the budget, but when you realize the impact to folks that are getting $367 a year in rental assistance, and that's what this amounts to, these are people that are right on the edge on any day. The nonprofit housing program, if we don't figure out a solution to that, would impact our colleagues and our partners in shared services, the counties. And at one point in the discussion of the report in committee, the observation was just let the counties suck it up. Well, there are some counties right now that are hanging on the verge of bankruptcy or insolvency, And so these are two pretty serious programs with very serious ramifications if we don't collectively find a good solution.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Representative Nathanson, bring us home, Department of Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The General Government Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means acknowledge receipt of a report from the Department of Revenue on enforcement revenue. The budget report for House Bill 54, the primary 2011-13 budget bill for the Department of Revenue, included a budget note regarding enforcement revenue. The department was directed to develop a methodology to determine what portions of the state's personal and corporate income tax receipts are attributable to the agency's enforcement work, such as audit and collection activities. To complete this work, the agency conducted a research project in consultation with the Office of Economic Analysis and the Legislative Revenue Office. The project focused on describing a framework to estimate enforcement revenue, identifying various factors that influence enforcement revenue, and creating a methodology for estimating the impacts of changes in agency enforcement efforts. The report does not define an absolute method for quantifying the return on enforcement efforts, but does provide models that can be used for different purposes. These include a model that could be used to forecast revenue and one that would be a tool for preparing budget estimates related to enforcement staffing. The subcommittee discussed performance metrics, collection trends, and the agency's effort to collect more accounts receivable faster. Your General Government Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. That concludes our work for today. Members of the committee, one thing to keep in mind is that this afternoon, the co-chairs are meeting again going over policy bills. More will be referred to your respective committees. Some of them will be for public hearings. Some of them may be for work sessions.
No, thank you.
As we go into the final week of our deliberations, the Capital Construction Committee may actually end up getting for work sessions some of the bills that you've had for hearings. That's not to overlook the subcommittees. That's merely because of where we're at in the session and the fact that as they go through the Capital Construction Committee on work sessions, they may go very rapidly. I don't even know how many will actually go anywhere. So,
Members, I just want to note, again, the folks who have worked on the court fees issues know how complex they are. We're grateful for all the work that have been done. The bills we went through today, again, are another step in that process. But I want to emphasize it is a process. We do have the interim work group that will continue to look at the court fee issues. We've heard the concerns from the cities and counties, the justice courts, about how the changes will impact them. We're asking the interim work group to focus on that, to track the data. We only have 1 month of data thus far from January, so the work group will be tracking the data, and the e-board will be asked to take action if necessary in terms of balancing out if there is a negative impact on cities and counties. So we're taking it very seriously, and we're asking the interim work group to focus on that and make sure that the changes that we're making are workable for the state, for the cities, and for the counties. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Anything else for the good of the order? Yes, Senator Monroe.
Yeah, I have to say this. I have a philosophical problem with one subcommittee holding public hearings on a measure and a different subcommittee working.
The co-chair just thought it would be better that you find out in advance rather than finding out after. So,
and that's been reciprocated.
Okay, with nothing else, that concludes our work for today.
On that note.